CBSI and the world, I'm John Batchelor. The federal government transitioning into the future. Francis Rose is here. He is the host of FedGov Today, his podcast twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and his TV show on Sunday morning on Channel 7 in the nation's capital. Conversations with the men and women who are the federal government looking forward. Digitalization is a big part of the drama. However, now we go to the Space Force. Francis's conversation with General David D.T. Thompson, Vice Chief of Space Operations. I can't show you the uniform, but I've got to tell you, it's a really cool uniform. And Francis and I have been searching for what kind of blue that is. I'm sure somebody out there knows. It's not the navy blue, and it's not the light blue of the Air Force. It's in between. Francis, I know clothing is not supposed to make the force, but it's a cool uniform, and it tells you something new is going on at the Department of Defense. Chiefly, what I learn is the Space Force is building. To put it in the general's terms, it's light and lean. What attracts you about the Air Force? Because clearly you have affection, Space Force, you have affection for it. Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. I have an affection for all the military services because they defend the United States of America, and I'm grateful for that. But Space Force is fascinating to me because it's the first new service since the Air Force itself stood up in the aftermath of World War II. And what the service has gone through to come into existence, not that it's been a long trial, a difficult process, but just the fact that what it takes mechanically, tactically, to stand up a new military service in the 21st century is fascinating to me. It's also obviously very fascinating, very important to General Thompson, who, as I described on the in the conversation, I expected this to be an exit interview for me to ask about his time, kind of retroactively looking at his tenure as the Vice Chief of Space Operations. He's staying on now unexpectedly for a number of months in the future. But I had hoped, and I think I got a retrospective of where the Space Force has come and where he expects to see the Space Force go in the coming months and years. And it's been a pretty fascinating journey for the force so far, for the service so far, and I expect it to be that way in at least the next several years as they sort through a number of the milestones that General Thompson talked about, John.
The general is a positive speaker, but I heard around the edges that there are a lot of sharp memos been flying back and forth at the DOD. There was resistance, but you remind me, back in the late 1940s, after the Second War, there was similar combat in the DOD when the U.S. Army Air Force left the U.S. Army.
Yeah, well, and it wasn't just the Army's Air Corps. It was all of the aviation functions originally in the military, in the Navy, Marine Corps also, that were supposed to go into the Air Force. That didn't happen. There were members of the military and members of Congress that opposed it then. And a similar situation played itself out several years ago when the Space Force stood up. There are still going to be components of space capability in the Army, in the Navy, in the Marine Corps. Those will still exist, but the vast majority of the space capability in all of the services will move to the Space Force. And obviously, the structure is similar to the Marine Corps vis-a-vis the Navy regarding the Space Force and the way that it interacts with the Air Force. But that's the goal they're going for. But yes, it's no change in the Defense Department, no change in the Pentagon ever happens without some resistance from somebody. The organization is just too big.
Communications, tracking, remote sensing, all very critical components in warfighting. But the big one, Francis, is the Space Force is the blue dot. I never know where I am unless I can find the blue dot on my iPhone. I had no idea they were that important. They hold us together.
Yeah, they're overseeing the operations and maintenance and health of the satellite constellation that exists around the Earth, and defending it from potential threats. And one of the original arguments for standing up the Space Force is that with space becoming its own domain, it needed its own force, its own service to see to its safety and accessibility for the United States military in a time of war. And that's essentially what General Thompson talks to me on the program about building out, about maturing and developing for the military. That's the Space Force's mission, is to be the service that's in place in the space domain, ready to the term that all of the uniformed personnel that I talk to in one form or another pretty much use, is to be ready to fight tonight in their domain of operation. And obviously the Space Force is space. And so defending that constellation of satellites that we have up there, bringing us all kinds of information for all kinds of purposes, both for warfighting purposes and for civilian and economic purposes, is what they're all about.
You had a conversation with Dave Wennergren, who is the chief executive officer of ACT-IAC, former deputy CIO of defense, former Navy CIO, talking about the transformation of generative AI, large language model, for people who work in the Pentagon. Their children have it, but the Pentagon, I got the noise around the background that there's some resistance. Is that what you heard, Francis?
I'm not sure resistance is the right word. And full disclosure, Dave, in addition to being a distinguished government servant and having a long career in government, is a friend. So my conversations with him are a little lighter than I might have with someone like General Thompson. But I wouldn't say resistance is the right word. Apprehension is probably more accurate. I think there are a lot of people in the Pentagon that see the potential for generative AI. I think there are two things that are causing them to be a little bit hesitant, a little bit skeptical. One of them is the fact that, for all intents and purposes, generative AI, both from a government perspective and a private industry perspective, kind of snuck up on people. ChatGPT showed up, a couple of the other similar models showed up, and it kind of came out of nowhere, and people weren't quite sure what to do. And it was a cool tool, and how could we use this for whatever our purpose is? And so I think there's a hesitance there on the part of the military services and the DOD as a whole to make sure it's being thoughtful and careful about how it uses generative AI. And the other reason I think that there's hesitancy is, what are the security implications, both national security and cybersecurity implications? What does that mean for what we feed into this thing? Who might be able to have access to it and all those kinds of things? I don't think either of those hesitancies preclude the broad use of it. And I think I expect to see an explosion in the proliferation of generative AI across the Defense Department in particular and the federal government in general. But it certainly, I think, is causing the leaders in the department to be very careful as they proceed on using generative AI.
Jeff. Final minute, Francis. Imagination ELC 2023 coming up, run by Dave Winogrand's outfit, ACT-IAC. What happens at the Imagination? I can't attend, but I can imagine it.
That's kind of the whole point. I think that it's certainly one of the leading events in the government space every year for government and industry to get together in an informal environment and collaborate, and for government to be able to say, instead of, as it does in a traditional contracting practice, here's the list of things that I want a contractor to do for me. It's really these kinds of events are terrific opportunities for government to say, here are my problems, and what's the art of the possible, and what are all the industry things that might be able to help me meet that, rather than industry saying, here's a bunch of stuff I want to sell you. It's an opportunity for those folks to really listen to government leaders and help them figure out how to solve their problems.
The organization is ACT-IAC, and Imagination ELC 2023 will be at the Hershey Lodge, Hershey, Pennsylvania. You have to register, but it sounds really cool. I'm going to hold Francis to reporting back from it. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.